Three, two, one.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of the No Normal Show, brought to you by Revive. This is where we leave all things status quo, traditional, old school, and boring in the dust, and celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, the future, all related to how brands can lead the way in health. I'm your co-host, Ezra Duncan, Vice President of Health Equity and Inclusion at Revive, and I'm joined by co-host Stephanie Weirwohl, Executive Vice President of Integrated Marketing. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, hey, Des.
Oh, I'm so glad it's spring. It has sprung.
Spring has sprung. Friday is here.
All the good
things. We're on the way.
We're on the way. And we're also joined by co-host Chris Wickline, Senior Vice President of Strategy at Revive. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Des. Hi, Stephanie. Yes, I'm digging spring.
Digging spring. Although it's like graduation season, so it's kind of insane right now. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the other chaos that's in our lives. And that's what we've been hearing on conferences and some of our client visits and what's going on, just given disruptors, the continuation of disruptors, is that, you know, physicians are really feeling the heat. You know, there's a lot of things that they're having to navigate from tech, from competition, frustrations within their own infrastructure for how they deliver care. But also, you know, what we're hearing from patients as we're doing consumer work is the perception that they're not getting enough time with their physicians. They're not feeling heard. They're feeling ignored. I mean, this is especially for women, but essentially across the board, consumers are always noting how they don't feel like they're getting enough time to get through all of the things they'd like to talk through, or that they're feeling kind of rushed out the door. So there's a lot that they're going through, that is physicians, that we're going to try to unpack here. So I'm going to say, Stephanie, what are some of your thoughts around what physicians are experiencing, thinking about, especially knowing that you've been traveling around to some of the conferences and picking up on what you've been hearing?
Yeah, well, I will try to unpack. It's a very large suitcase to unpack, but just a few of the highlights on what physicians are feeling and saying, and it does go back to time. Probably everything in this world goes back to time and not having enough time. But in our last episode, we did a little dive into the staffing shortage in general and from a healthcare standpoint. And the staff shortage of physicians is very, very real. There's a prediction that by 2032, we will be short well over 100,000 physicians in the U.S. And, you know, we've all heard about burnout for many years, but physicians are very pressed for time. There was a really interesting study by UChicago Medicine in 2022 that found that if physicians actually did everything that was recommended clinically, including all the admin stuff that they need to do, and saw the kind of average number of patients per day, then it would actually take 26.7 hours to do all these things per day. So, you know, we have 24 hours in a day, and to provide the recommended care, each physician would need to actually work 26.7 hours a day. So that feels really heavy. Maybe I'll just pause there because that's heavy.
Yeah, there's a lot there. I mean, of course, we're hearing a lot of that on the nursing side around all of the tasks that they need to do and like how we can, it's almost like thinking, how can you just restructure care delivery in a way? But that's not our wheelhouse. But I know, Chris, there's been some research you've been looking at too, as far as knowing that there's 26.4 hours or so of things that they need to do, but that the EMR and all of the ways that they're getting their information is not helping that.
Well, I mean, so let's just talk about getting information, right? So there was an interesting stat that was shared during a presentation that I attended at HIMSS. And it's, you know, again, the idea that medical knowledge and what's out there has increased so significantly. So how do you stay on top of it? And the stat is crazy. It is estimated that the doubling time of medical knowledge in 1950 was 50 years. in 1980, 7 years, in 2010, 3.5 years, and in 2020, due to COVID and everything that was happening with COVID, it was projected to be 0.2 years in just 73 days. So how can you, when it comes to information, how can you possibly stay on top of the latest information around care? It's like not possible, right?
Another example of how it feels like time is flying, speeding up. All the things are changing more quickly. But yeah, you're right. There's lots to keep up with.
Yeah, it's, and this gets into a really interesting area too, because now you put those two and two together, or three. Two and one together is three. So Des, you started out by saying consumers, you know, patients wish they had more time with their doctors. We know that physicians are lacking time. And then Chris, you just shared, you know, there's a high level of information to keep up with. And I think it was in this past month, there was, I won't call it a study. It was not a study, but it was kind of a little exploration using ChatGPT as, you know, treating it like a physician sort of, and then comparing that to what actual physicians say in their discussions with patients, and looking at the two and comparing. And I think the headline was, you know, ChatGPT has more empathy than doctors, kind of a slam to doctors. But then I really enjoyed the physician's take on this kind of in my LinkedIn feeds, which was, you know why ChatGPT is more empathetic than doctors? Because doctors have to get that message out quickly. They've got minutes. They've got a lot going on. They need to quickly, you know, get out. Here's the plan. Here's the treatment plan. Here's the diagnosis. Here's what we're going to do. And the time is just not there. They wish it were, but it's not there to sit down and, you know, say all the things they wish they could say.
You know, okay. So there's so much I want to share here. So a little personal anecdote. So I had an issue with, I didn't know what it was, my shoulder, my elbow, my forearm. Well, didn't have a clue. Finally got in so much pain, I went to an ortho urgent care, which I had never been to. So that was a new thing for me in general. Went to the ortho urgent care, did a bunch of films, spent literally not more than 3 minutes with a physician's assistant who said, you have tendonitis. Now, of course, I think I'm dying or that there's something significantly wrong with my shoulder. She was nice. She was fine. But it was like literally no more than 3 minutes. And I'm like, but wait, I think, you know, it's clicking and it's doing this. I'm explaining all these things. She's like, it's tendonitis. Gives me, you know, gives me a little splint for my arm and a prescription for PT, which 3 weeks later, I finally went to. The PT said, hey, it could be a lot of different things. Let's just validate this. She, you know, I had 45 minutes with her and we did a variety of little things and, you know, for her to kind of see where the pain was radiating, et cetera. And it was, you know, she said, I really believe this is tendonitis. And I'm like, oh yeah. Okay, cool. It's, you know, golfer's elbow. Yeah, but it was the 3 minutes that I had with the, you know, with the physician's assistant where I'm like, really? Come on, seriously? So I don't know, maybe there's something there and I hope that feels relevant, but it's, you know, I called into question the knowledge just because of the amount of time that was spent with me, you know?
You have to assess quickly and like, yes, you have the knowledge base, but without being able to take that deeper dive to ask questions, to get those follow-up answers, understanding it takes away from that. There's other examples of that in life where I think I've mentioned this on the show before about there's so much information that's coming at us all the time that we have to quickly assess as much as possible. But we put that in, and so we make mistakes as humans. Like we make a judgment here or have a bias there because we're processing and we're just connecting the dots from past things that we've seen or heard or what have you. But then when it comes to a physician or a provider who also doesn't have all of that time and access, there is that burden to like have the be and get you the right answer like right away. But also I'm wondering, and this is just me talking off the cuff, is like I wonder about the ego of like, oh, I know exactly what this is. This person's coming in for this thing. I've seen it before. It must be this. That comes from, yes, a lot of times you know the stuff, you get it right, but then there's those moments where you feel like I'm just like another patient that's coming in here. I'll share this example of like there's like those chiropractor, what is it called? The joint. You ever heard of those places?
Yes, I've been there.
No. Tell me, what is it?
Well, it's like subscription-based, like chiropractor, where you don't have to like figure out, you can just kind of like pop in anytime really and like get your back cracked basically. And so the first time you go in, they do it and they align you and they put all this stuff in, and then you feel like, okay, yeah, I went to a chiropractor. But each time that I have gone after that, it felt like they just did the same maneuvers on me each time. And so I wonder how much of like what you do even starts to become rote in a way. So yeah, I know I just like threw out all kinds of tangents here too, but I'm just thinking about how much they try to like, oh my God, simplify, or what is the term where you like put everything into like
efficiency.
Efficiency. Oh my
God. Well, I have an opposite example, which maybe will get us into kind of the realm of marketing, which is where many of our listeners are. So I had a situation where I was having like weird ear pains. And so I went to urgent care and they went through the process that, you know, I won't say all urgent care because that's not true, but you know, just the very quick kind of like, here's the medication, go on down the road, you have an ear infection. And so months went by and then I went to an ENT because it didn't get better. And it was this, you know, ENT with decades of experience, and he did the assessment and used all his amazing tools. And then he sat down in a chair across from me. It was a really nice little level, eye level moment. And he said, I've been doing this for a really long time. People go to urgent care and urgent care just prescribes quickly and sends you down the road, and they give you, it's always an ear infection. And he says, you don't have an ear issue. You have a tooth issue. And he said, you know, actually you're grinding your teeth. You need to talk to your dentist. He said, I see this all the time. I see this every day. And I walked away going like, now that's the benefit of an experienced specialist. And I think, and I'll bring this back to marketing, because I think, you know, as healthcare marketers, we're always trying to figure out our proof points and how do we talk about quality care and how do we talk about specialists. And for me as a patient, there was the benefit. It was one, he saw something that I could have never seen. He saw something that urgent care didn't have the experience to catch. He knew exactly where to direct me. It wasn't a real issue, if you will. And he sat down and got eye level. And I just can't tell you how big that moment was. It felt like I was talking to my grandfather, for lack of a better, you know, or my father, or, you know, my older brother, right? Like, it just felt like we're home.
I wonder how, like, with that specialty, a lot of times, I guess you do have more time to sit with your patient because you're not having to be Jack or Jill of all trades, I guess, where you have like an overwhelming flood coming through for primary care or urgent care or what have you. But I'm wondering, and Chris, maybe you have more knowledge base here, but like the difference between the amount of time that you get from a specialist versus someone that's doing kind of overarching care.
Well, I mean, I guess I don't have the stats or the numbers, but my personal experience says when I've had to go to specialists, I typically get more care, right? Because I'm going to them for a specific reason, something I don't understand, something that needs a little bit more attention. So maybe, you know, my experience has borne that out. But, you know, my little experience of going to the ortho urgent care, it was an urgent care and it was a specialist. And, you know, again, she obviously diagnosed me very correctly, but I was questioning it because with all my research, it felt like it could be so many different things. She quickly saw it, did exactly her job. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was maybe left feeling like not really, because it was just felt rushed. So it's an interesting dynamic between, you know, the efficiency and making somebody feel like they've been heard, right?
You bring up an important point around like our perceptions, that because there wasn't enough time, we felt like we didn't get quality care, versus like what you said, that like, well, actually, in the scheme of things, she did diagnose me correctly, right? So then as consumers, I don't know if this has to do with, you know, more of the social norms and changes, but like there's more expectation that we have, even though we know that there they're the experts and what have you, but I'm wondering how much having to navigate or how much having to play to that is worth it. So knowing that from a marketing standpoint, that we are battling consumers feeling this way, these perceptions, mm-hmm. while also still trying to get them in the door while they're jaded, perhaps, you know, tech companies are coming up. They're trying to say, hey, we've got a better solution that's going to give you more of that relatable care. And then the question is that actually true? Is that actually possible?
Yeah, I feel so passionately about that because, you know, you go to Vive or South by Southwest or, you know, even CES, right? And it's everywhere you look, there's health tech of some kind, whether it's the sensors and wearables at CES or whether it is the, you know, the AI-based health tech companies at Vive, you know, promising to solve the EHR problem, which is like physicians spend on average 16 minutes out of each appointment or each patient encounter with EHR data. And so here we have a solution for that. We're going to have an, you know, AI that's going to take notes for you, which that sounds great. You know, maybe we can get there. But the point is, I think there's some skepticism, especially from physicians, that tech is going to be the solution because tech has been the problem or part of the problem for a very long time, which is my admin requirements take me away from what my patients want and need, which is an empathetic conversation. So you're telling me more tech is going to give me what I need. I'm not so sure about that. And then the health tech organizations are saying, physicians, you messed up the whole system. We have the solution. And then you have the new entrants, which maybe what you were hinting at, Des, which are popping in with all of their proof points that say, you know, you pay out of pocket and you'll get X number of hour long appointments and you can text us whenever you need us. So it's just a million ways to circle the problem and I think a lot of fingers are being pointed at the center of the system, which is physicians, which is not exactly, certainly not accurate.
No, I mean, I think, you know, in many ways, they're a product. The way physicians work has really kind of been designed by the system around them in many ways, right? So the system around them, which was ideally to support them, right? You know, EHRs and, you know, more efficiency, the ability to see more patients. All of those things are very well-intentioned, but, you know, what is the actual impact when it comes to the actual patient experience and putting consumers in a position where they feel confident in their physicians? We hear that regularly from the different clients that we work with and the research that we do, that consumers, you know, don't feel heard, sometimes feel dismissed. And again, I don't think it's because doctors are trying to do that. I think doctors are trying to keep their head above water, right?
They are. And so with that, there's that patient engagement. And so given who our day-to-day folks are that we talk to, the marketers, what role can we play in helping alleviate some of those perception issues and supporting our physicians when it's coming to combating that perception?
I think step one is spending time with physicians as a marketer and hearing from their perspective and really understanding what they truly need. This is a slight side note, but I think it plays into what we were just talking about. But, you know, there was a op-ed in the New York Times a couple months ago by a physician. And they said, you know, we're not burned out from overwork. We're demoralized by our health system. And I thought that was just really profound because it's like, yeah, the conversation of burnout has been a very long time. But as we're talking about here, you know, the system has been built around physicians, but not just that. So much has been added on to, let's tack this on and let's have a point solution here. And now let's add this and now let's add that. And this is going to solve all. And it's just like, oh my goodness, like we've actually overcomplicated everything to the point of which we've forgotten the whole point, which is person-to-person interactions and medical knowledge. So anyway, that's a little bit of a side note and a rant, but let me get back to the original point here, which is I think marketers actually truly understanding both how consumers feel and how physicians feel, you can be the glue between the two. No, we're not going to solve the EHR problem. No, we're not going to solve the system problem.
But what we can do is say, how can we connect the two? And that's what marketing can do.
That's interesting what you say, just given that, like, yes, essentially marketers within the health system, within the hospitals and clinics, they are a servant of two masters, if you will. That's a play from back in the day. Just saying that out loud feels a little weird now in 2023, but it gets a point across. Is that my point is that essentially, yes, they're looking to answer and find solutions for both of their consumers, one being the consumers out in the world, and then the other being the providers that they serve, and that there's a lot to juggle. But the fact that they are that middle point, but they, like you said, they spend more time, more focus on the outside consumers, but could learn a great deal around what the physicians are under, and also even doing some, like, some educating themselves around what actually works, you know, given that, hey, I know they're going to want a billboard, but let me maybe try to school on how that might not be the most efficient spend for what they're looking for.
I mean, I also think that's where marketers can play a much more significant role in physician referrals and support. I think, you know, Revive did some research in 2022. And, you know, one of the things that we learned is that more progressive marketing leaders are taking a more active in physician referral development. So typically it's been the purview of a BD team that, you know, boots on the ground and physically visits physicians to encourage referrals. I think one, you know, particularly when you're dealing with driving volume for specialists, all those good things that we do in consumer marketing by, you know, targeting optimal consumers, we can do the same thing by targeting optimal physicians. We can develop, you know, outreach and engagement programs. We can develop the reputations of our physicians with potential referrers. There's so many things that we can do. And I think what we heard from some of the folks that we talked to was that they actually see the impact that they can make in physician referral development and management as something much more tangible for the specialists that they serve. And it also gives them maybe a little bit more grace when it comes to proving their case and building trust that gets more investment for the consumer marketing side of things. In other words, if you can do this for me here and you've provided this impact, I'm willing to trust you there. So it's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. And maybe we should get into some examples of the things that we hear clinicians asking for from a marketing standpoint too. I mean, it's the referring provider, you know, experience for sure, but it's also very just important and basic marketing things, like we need a more seamless digital patient experience, digital front door, so that when I'm talking to my patients, they're not complaining to me about how bad our health system website is, right? Or that they were actually able to find me and book an appointment with me and understand, you know, who I am before we talk, or that they found us through search, you know, instead of a competitor. I mean, these are the kinds of things that we hear, which are frankly, you know, very important 101 marketing basics too. So I think sometimes we boil it down to, like, oh, what physicians want is to be promoted personally. And that's true, but also it's, hey, let's get volume and the right kind of volume matched our access and a good patient experience. I hear that quite a lot as well.
Yeah, especially given the fact that around the referrals and just more information easily found about the physician could perhaps help in negating some of the going online to, like I said, Dr. Google, the ChatGPTs. Where they could perhaps even do similar with their actual physician. I mean, granted, I know we don't have those 26 hours in the day to do that, but what roles could be playing to help facilitate that, just given the fact that there is so much misinformation that is out there that is gained, that I know that can be frustrating for physicians when a person comes in and they've already kind of pre-diagnosed themselves. But yeah, any other suggestions on?
Well, I have one more, and this is actually a pretty hot topic right now, but maybe it spans to a bigger thing here too. But there was a really brilliant session at South By, where a group of physicians and a dean and others were talking about the bullying that physicians face online when they go online and actually share, you know, guidance specifically around vaccines and masking and things like that. And the big rally cry was, we as physicians and clinicians are not backed by anybody. We don't have support. We don't have protection. So, you know, I think often I sit in my little marketing space and I think, oh, like, let's do content marketing written by, you know, clinicians. Well, okay, who's got time for that? Or I think, oh, let's create social presences, you know, for our physicians online. Well, A, again, there's no time. And then B, what are we doing to support and surround and protect? So it's a bigger industry thing. But I think there's a huge space for systems to play, for organizations to play, associations as well, to say, how do we reshape the perspective, that the perception that consumers and patients have on clinicians, but also what are we doing to not promote necessarily, but to build a platform? I just think there's a nationwide need for that.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, there was a moment there, of course, during the beginning of the pandemic where there was just so much high regard and support and positive vibes for the healthcare industry, but that has quickly subsided. It's gone back to pre-COVID and perhaps even worse perceptions. So yeah, this is a larger issue. I know that we've worked with a couple of associations on this very thing, on changing the hearts and minds of folks around their hospitals and health systems. But yeah, you bring up an excellent point around this is a larger issue than just one system can take on. In fact, perhaps it needs to be a movement. All right, we will wrap up another show. Stephanie, Chris, thanks so much for being here. For all of you listening, thank you so much for joining in. If there's something you want us to cover, or if you want to share any more additional notes around what we've discussed, please shoot us an email at nonormal@reviveagency.com. And make sure you share the show with your friends and colleagues and give us a review and rating on iTunes. All of that would be much appreciated. And until next time, don't ever be satisfied with the normal. Push that no normal, y'all, and we'll see you next time. 3.